Welcome to a special edition of the Darden Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Carlos Bortoni. Carlos is a dual degree alum, MBA Masters of Education alum in the class of 2019 here at the Darden School of Business, and he is also the Tech Hub Senior Director for Darden's Batten Institute. Carlos and I recently connected to talk more about his background, what led him to Darden as an MBA student, what brought him back for his role with the Batten Institute, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. As always, if you found this episode helpful, be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an update. And remember, you can always check the episode description for links to Darden blogs, social channels, and more. Now, without further ado, here is my interview with Carlos Bortoni. Carlos, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for having me. Very excited.
It's great to have you here. How's everything going? How are you doing?
Doing great. It's cherry blossom season here in DC, so we're getting all of our tourists and folks coming into town. As you probably have seen the photos, it's been a very nice season, not too much rain, so folks have really had a chance to enjoy, and we're getting ready for the summer.
Yeah, cherry blossom season also coincides for me with allergy season, so I don't always welcome it with open arms, but the trees are beautiful and it's amazing. It's such a thing here in DC. There's this municipal golf course over near where the tidal basin, where a lot of people go, and oh man, it's pandemonium over there this time of year. There's so many people at all hours of the day, like 7 a.m. There are people taking pictures. It's a beautiful time, by the way. Early morning is particularly beautiful over there because you get the sunrise and the whole thing. But yes, it is very much a thing here in DC.
Well, and it's nice because, we've been, so far, knock on wood, very lucky with the weather. It's like nice and brisk, not too hot, not too cold. People can definitely walk around and, I know what you mean with allergies. The pollinating is here. So fingers crossed it won't be too bad this time around.
For sure. So, well, it's great to have you here. Thanks again for joining for the podcast. And, as a first question, let's just start by talking about you. Tell us who you are and what's your story.
Sure. Thank you, Brad. So Carlos Bortoni, I am the senior director for the Tech Hub initiative here at Darden. There's a winding path that brought me back to Darden that made it very exciting. But a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Mexico. I finished high school in Mexico. My family still lives there. I was very lucky. I came to the States on a scholarship. The original goal was for me to work in policy, really go back and help my country. So I worked with the UN and think tanks in Argentina and here in DC. I quickly realized that for me to have the impact that I wanted in education, which is really kind of like my passion, I needed two things. One, I needed to have more private sector experience. And two, that I needed to at some point find my way into consulting or tech to really build that skill set and do it at scale. So after graduating from Harvard for undergrad, I worked in a small consulting firm, did a lot of work cross industry, aerospace, defense, chemicals, metals and mining, in the joint ventures and alliances space. Learned a lot, loved it, had an opportunity to jump into the education space here in DC at another company to build and launch from scratch their private K-12 business, which allowed me to get that sales background. How do you really innovate within a company, like that entrepreneurship flavor of which, by the way, I wasn't aware of until I came to Darden and became a student. And then realized that I learned a lot, but it was time for me to go to grad school. So I came to Darden. I'm both an MBA and a master's in education student, class of 2019. And I was very involved in a lot of different activities while I was at Darden, right? I was president of the education club. I recruited and ended up doing consulting post-graduation. I was very involved with the Batten Institute, where I work now, as part of their entrepreneurship ecosystem. And, through those 2 years in Charlottesville, realized that one, that path of coming into consulting post-graduation was going to be a great learning experience. And that it would position me really, really well to then go into tech and education, which is exactly what I did. So I worked at PwC for a couple of years. I was part of their digital transformation practice. At that time, the firm had just launched a suite of digital products. I was part of the go-to-market team for a lot of those, in addition to your classic, consulting, client-facing projects. And then during the middle of the pandemic, I was recruited by Qualtrics, to come in and lead the K-12 strategy for the portfolio. Over time, that portfolio responsibilities increased to include higher ed and K-12 in North America. And last year, I was the global lead for our entire global education business at the company, which was kind of like that opportunity to really take all those learnings, you know, before Darden, everything I learned at Darden from effectuation, design thinking, so on and so forth, put it like really into practice. And then last year, I got an invitation to apply for this job at Darden, right? And it's a very exciting time at the school. There's a lot of activity going on around technology, artificial intelligence, the intersection between both and business and society. And, you know, the goal really is to elevate our profile in tech, both at Darden, at UBA, and society at large, and to be part of an amazing team, including you from admissions and our advancement team and our faculty and our alumni, to like really build that ecosystem.
All right. Well, lots of interesting points in your story. What's it like to be back at Darden?
It's very surreal. It's very, very, I mean, those are two of the best years I've ever had, being a full-time student and having the opportunity to come back to the fold, being part of this brand new initiative, is really, really, it's a very interesting time, and I love it, right? It gives me an opportunity to leverage all that I learned when I was a student and as a working professional to build this critical initiative, and, you know, to do it with folks that you know, hey, you used to be my professor. Hey, like we used to work together at Baden, and seeing how the school really lives and breathes its mission now, again, from the staff and faculty side, it's really, really amazing.
What's exciting to you about this Tech Hub initiative here at Darden?
I think, you know, Darden has traditionally been known, you know, we're very well known for our work and our presence in consulting and finance and banking and kind of like as a general management school, right? Like Darden is bar none the best at what it does. And there's a lot of other infrastructure within the school that makes it very unique, right? How we teach effectuation as part of our startup ecosystem, how design thinking is part of the toolkit that we want executives to build and leverage within their teams, whether it's as part of building something brand new or to innovate as entrepreneurs, right? So the breadth and scope of what gets taught in the classroom is very unique. But doing that, you know, with the realization that tech is everywhere, like, and then no matter what you do in your 1 or 2 months out, you're still going to end up in tech in some capacity. Realizing that really gives us a way to refocus some of the energy into just elevating that. And tactically, what does that mean? Well, number one, it means identifying and working with students that want to come to Darden that either have that background in technology and or want to break into the industry, number one. Number two, with their faculty. I mean, I'm part of an AI task force right now that's looking at how we're leveraging artificial intelligence, not just in the curriculum, but also in terms of how we're equipping our students so that they can be effective post-graduation to hit the ground running. On the alumni side, you know, we're building this ecosystem with our recent and more tenured alums because, hey, we know that you're already working in the space. How can we bring you back into the fold, share your knowledge with current students, regardless of the program that you're pursuing, and helping build those bridges? And then more ambitiously, like, this is not an effort that Darden should do solo, right? Like, we are working actively with other schools across the entire UBA ecosystem. You know, we're building bridges with economic development agencies and VC funds and other startups and, you know, your classic established players, because we realize that if we want to do this and we want to do it well, and again, you know, it's something that Darden is very unique about, it's just how we think of ourselves as socially responsible agents. We need to bring these voices together and, you know, be part of that fold that's pushing how Darden sees technology, how we see a role in that space, and then making those resources available to our students.
Darden has two locations at this point, at least where we deliver degree programs, Charlottesville and in the D.C. area. I feel like the D.C. area is quite a hub for a lot of technology-related activity. Is that the line with your impressions?
Yeah, it's interesting when you're in industry, you kind of like only look at your company or the role of your company vis-a-vis your clients. And now that I'm on this side, it's exactly what you're describing. It's a vibrant hub of activity. on a multitude of fronts. I'll give you an example. We had a UVA alum who is a former Samsung executive, now works in VC, and said, hey, like, you know, we would love to learn more about the tech hub and maybe host a bunch of other Samsung executives. Can we do that? Like, absolutely, let's do it. And, you know, you bring in 30 plus senior executives sharing their vision, how they're using technology and how and the role they play in tech, not just in DC, but elsewhere. And you get this really interesting, vibrant conversation, right? Like the dialogues that we're having now, again, with economic development agencies, for example, very similar. How can we continue to innovate and invest in Northern Virginia, obviously in Charlottesville and there are other places where we're active to create those connections makes it very interesting. And then from a DC standpoint, you know, as Darden and UVA continue to grow the footprint, it also provides new opportunities for us to work with our student base, to work with our executives and other potential employers to make sure that these connections are in place in a much more streamlined way than it sometimes has been in the past.
Well, it brings me to this sort of a sort of bigger picture question here, Carlos, about, you know, what's the Batten Institute? Our listeners have heard that this Tech Hub initiative is within the Batten umbrella. We've had some of your colleagues on here, but people may not have necessarily heard those conversations. So just make sure we're all on the same page here. How would you describe the Batten Institute and the work that it does to a prospective student who's new to this conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Batten Institute has three main pillars, right? We're focused on entrepreneurship, innovation, and technology. Our main focus is finding new ways to continue to challenge and educate and grow with our students around these three main pillars. And by giving them the programmatic infrastructure to make that happen. And it comes in a bunch of different flavors, right? One is our ECUP competition. So it's a multi-competition where founders and teams can develop and pitch their startup ideas from back of a napkin. I'm just like this to I'm up and running. I have clients, et cetera, et cetera. So how do we give you the infrastructure to practice this and pitch in front of individuals to like get that exposure? Number one. Number two, if you are prospective students, we obviously have scholarships, right, that we give to folks in each of those pillars, entrepreneurship, innovation, and tech, to give you the opportunity to come to Darden and pursue those interests. It comes in the form of more programmatic events. So we organize different events, both on campus, on grounds, and outside, where we're giving that exposure to our students. And as part of that broader ecosystem, we are also building more connections with other types of events and institutions. Case in point, I'm looking at my calendar for April and May, and there's at least a dozen conferences and events just focused on technology and artificial intelligence here in DC, right? That we are either actively participating in or presenting at, or just kind of like building those introductions to other players.
Well, Carlos, thanks for the overview of the Batten Institute. I wonder, are there any Batten Institute initiatives that are underway that you'd want to highlight here? Anything that you would want to share about the programming that the Institute is working on?
Absolutely. So there's two that come to mind that are cooking for the fall and the winter. One is a DC trek that we organize for our full-time students. You know, we organize a series of headquarter visits with tech companies here in the DC area. You know, for example, we did something similar with the part-time in the EMBA program a week or two ago, and we hosted them at Uber and Google and Amazon. So we do that something similar in the fall for our full-time students. Also in December, we're going to do our second annual AI conference. We did the first one last time around. We had really interesting panels on kind of like intersection of law and AI, ethics and AI, how you're actually leveraging this within your business. So that is part of a series that we're going to keep doing, every winter moving forward. And the other piece that I would add is more on the kind of like inside the classroom programmatic stuff is like tech learning series. So this is something that my colleagues started last year. It's a series of faculty-led sessions where we're giving both a combination of theory and, you know, like what does that actually mean in the real world application of technology from different angles as a way to give more exposure to individuals who may or may not have a background in tech, but are considering that as a potential career path to just complement what they're already learning in the classroom in advance of, you know, their internship prep and so on and so forth. So we're really trying to combine things that are happening inside the classroom, at school, outside the classroom, and then obviously with other external organizations.
I'm curious, you obviously know the Darden experience well. You've worked with a number of Darden students. Why do you feel like Darden students are well-positioned for technology careers? What do you think it is about the Darden experience that helps prepare people for this kind of work?
Absolutely. I love that question. So I think it's how we live and breathe the case method that, number one, makes the educational experience unique, right? Because it really is putting students in the driver's seat on how to think critically through these types of questions, whether it's marketing, strategy, finance, you name it, right? So by forcing students to be at the center of the action, it obviously drives a different level of commitment and relationship with the content, right? It's not, hey, I'm going to read something and then just regurgitate it. Like, you really have to understand it and live it and breathe it. So that's one component. Component number two that I think makes Darden unique is we have some of the brightest minds in things, again, like effectuation, like design thinking, like ethics, that are critical components now, and they have been for a while, for how technology is not just developed, but also incorporated, leveraged, and accelerated, right? So regardless of whether you want to launch a brand new business in tech, or whether you are, you know, someone in consulting that is advising clients on how to leverage artificial intelligence, you know, you name the flavor, the Darden experience really forces you to be a lot more active in throughout your entire educational journey. And that also makes it way more rewarding, right? And there have been different times in my career where I've used different parts of the toolkit to great impact. And now with that, you know, I have to use kind of like everything as we're kind of building this brand new initiative from scratch. But that's what really makes Darden students incredibly unique and valuable when they join or rejoin the workforce, because they're able to leverage the knowledge tactically, but also think about how to do all of these different things in a much more innovative way that also places emphasis on its impact with their coworkers, its impact in society. That broader vision is very unique. And I think that's something that makes the Darden experience really amazing.
This question may be a little bit of a curveball, but people coming into an MBA program, they're trying to figure out what they want to do and trying to figure out the next step. And you hear about all these industries, right? You hear about consulting or technology, financial services, list goes on. What do people sort of, are there any misperceptions people have about what tech is versus what it actually proves to be in reality? Any sorts of things along those lines that come to mind?
Yeah, I love that question. So I think a lot of it really goes down to, this is going to be the consulting in me, like, how are we even defining tech, right? Is it being a PM at, you know, one of your high tech classic companies? Is it being a strategy guy at Qualtrics, which, you know, was my role? Is it being a PM or a PMM at a financial institution that just happens to have digital products, right? So for the most part, there's going to be a tech component in almost every role in almost any type of organization, right? Like, unless I'm selling cookies out in the corner, out of the stall, there's going to be a tech component, right? So understanding how the educational experience can equip you to not only perform at that specific role that you're recruiting at that moment in time, but allowing you to also become a continuous learner, that's where it gets interesting, right? Like, otherwise, a lot of the knowledge you can acquire on Coursera or like other free platforms, right? Like, it's not about just acquiring the technical skills. It's about the thought process. And for folks that are trying to break into tech, you know, if you don't have a technical background, a lot of those technical skills can be learned, right? They're very teachable, and there's a wealth of resources to do that. And an environment like Darden will give you the space to do that, whether it's in the classroom or if you want to fly solo, right? But it's how you make the best use of all these different tools that you're learning through your MBA program, whether you're full-time, part-time, executive, doesn't really matter. You're getting the same experience, at least at a place like Darden, right? That makes it a much more impactful 2 or 3 or, you know, whatever amount of time you're investing in grad school. And for something like tech, where everything just keeps changing, you know, like, I look at something like artificial intelligence, it changes literally by the week, if not by the day. So if you're only focused on one single tool or only one single process, it's going to be hard to keep up, right? So you, as folks consider what options they have for graduate school and particularly for an MBA program, you know, my two cents is prioritize a program that allows you to and teaches you how to think and rethink and relearn, and not just gives you a very narrow set of skills or tools. Chances are those are going to become obsolete fairly quickly. And from the employer side, like I want to work with people, I want to hire people that will not only be able to come in and hit the ground running on day one, and that's what Darden students do, but be able to help us find where to pivot before our competitors can. And to do that in a way, again, that makes sense for our company DNA and our company culture, because that's how you can really enact, you know, lasting change.
Yeah, just for some vocabulary here, PM is product manager?
That's right. Sorry, yes, product manager, or if you're doing, product marketing, managing too on that PMM side. So basically, like, are you a technical person? Are you a non-technical person? And are you working at a tech company or not? Those tend to overlap so much now that the distinction is a lot less clear.
And I appreciate your point about everybody is working with some kind of technology, wherever you may be working. So you have to work, you don't have to necessarily work just for a tech firm. There's technology in all kinds of companies now. Are there storylines or news items in the tech world that you've been following that are of interest? So I imagine we've got some folks listening to this podcast that are curious about what's on your mind as you look at what's happening out there in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think not to go on the flashy new toy that we all keep talking about, but I think artificial intelligence and Gen AI are two things that are newsworthy, but also ongoing, and they're ongoing because it's just going way too fast, right? And I think about it not just, oh, what tool is the coolest that's out right now, or which one is driving the most productivity? Like, that's fine. Those are stats. I care more about like that intersection between private sector, not the government, policy, society at large, because that's where we need to keep up. That's where we need to be drivers of change and just awareness. So like, how can we make sure that if we're coming from that business world, that we're helping to educate the policy side on the potential rewards and risks of something like insert whatever technology, artificial intelligence, you name it, right? How do we make sure that the rules and regulations that we have in play are aware and actually help us, get the most out of these technologies in a way that makes sense, but also protect individuals from potential negative effects, right? And that's a conversation that's happening in the classroom, in industry, in Congress, in all these unofficial channels. And I think that's where, I'll speak for Darden, but like where Darden is really equipping you to have those intelligent conversations, not just on like the technical side, but like, what does it actually mean? If I'm a business and I leverage an artificial intelligence tool, but I don't have a framework for how to use it, like, are we putting ourselves at risk? Or no, we did make the investment. We are seeing that impact. Great. How do we communicate that to our shareholders, to our other teams, so that it can be scaled responsibly, right? And again, I think that's where Darden is an interesting place, because we have this broader ecosystem across UVA with our other schools, where students are able to interact with one another and say, hey, like, I'll speak for myself. If I'm an MBA and Master's in Education, well, what does that mean in the classroom, right? Like, what does that translate to higher ed or K-12? Or with our dual degree students in healthcare or dual degree students at the law school? Like, what are those business and angles that overlap with things like technology? That's where that interplay between what's coming out of the news is what, makes it very intriguing to those of us who follow that.
Yeah, I've been really intrigued. I went to law school, so I always tend to look at things kind of from that legal perspective, at least as they're in the news. And particularly with AI and copyright law and these large language models ingesting all of this content from all of these sites, the sites agree to this, what's being done with their content afterwards. You look at DALL-E, which creates an image in the style of, like, there should be so many lawsuits, particularly with generative AI, whether it's, DALL-E is an example, but songs that sound like an artist that were created using AI. I mean, that's a huge threat to an artist and their creative income, and if you could just create basically a Drake song out of thin air, so to speak, without Drake being involved in it. I mean, I think these are some really fascinating questions, and maybe the law's there or maybe not totally. I'm curious to see where some of this goes.
Yeah, no, I mean, you touch on a lot of things that kind of like, you know, tickle my brain. So, you know, and on one of the things that I started to do during the pandemic, and I know that we all like to think the pandemic is done and we can, you know, look at it. I think there were some really good lessons learned from that time. And I picked up art as a way to just kind of like decompress and help me process all of my workload from consulting and then tech and now I darted. And, you know, through those interactions with other artists, both traditional and digital, the debate that you're describing is exactly on point, right? There's a business component to generative AI and the arts, whether it's music, visual, so on and so forth, on who is the actual creator, who's the owner of the IP, what are the positive and negative impacts of something like this for creators, right? And there's a really interesting, I'm going to say, like, technology arms race going on now within the technology itself. So case in point, if I'm a creator and I'm afraid, to your point, of having my content leveraged, shall we say, maybe not stolen, but leveraged by all these LLMs that are either from big companies or from startups, well, now there's technology developed by other startups that helps you essentially protect your IP. So if an LLM takes your images or your music and it gets incorporated, it will start messing with the LLM to the point where the LLM will basically become obsolete. So you're starting to see this interplay. And by the way, that applies to deepfakes, you know, voice models as well. That kind of like, how do we have a set of rules that ideally protect both creators, but I'm just like your normal user, right? Like, deepfakes can be created now with only a couple of seconds of footage and audio. You don't need a lot to start creating these types of outputs. So how do you combine the innovation to protect, to your point, with the legal frameworks that are meant to provide an overarching set of rules that in theory we should all abide by? And that just has to be a lot faster, but that's a bigger conversation.
Yeah, it calls to mind, you know, Napster lawsuits and all of that kind of stuff of the early 2000s, but very different than that, too, because of how fast this technology is moving and the potential for it to create any number of things. Like, I've been amazed. I mean, if you listen to like some of these firms about what they're trying to fundraise to, like, I think OpenAI is trying to raise several $1 trillion or something like that. I mean, that's a massive amount of money, to your point, of like an arms race. Like, that is a lot of money.
And I think that's where these are the conversations that you and I are having right now, Brett. Like, these are conversations that our students have every day, right? Like, both in and out of the classroom at a place like Darden, and where you're having faculty. And this is one of the things that I appreciated most of my time down in Charlottesville. Like, the faculty is there. Like, the faculty actually cares about teaching. Yet they do world-class research. The faculty at Darden are there to like really build these connections with students, right? And you can have a casual one-on-one over coffee with your ethics professor, or a fireside chat with the dean, or, hey, we're going to bring in other folks from the other schools or from alumni who are literally in the trenches at, you know, insert big name company or insert really cool startup that are literally getting their hands dirty, doing all these things and trying to do that to do that in a way that is consistent with Darden values. Right? Like, we assume positive intent, but we're also trying to make sure that the technology that is being developed is being used for good. And these are like the types of conversations that I have with our alums that are in the space, saying, "Hey, I'm a person from a diverse background. I want to make sure that voice and that background is included as we're building these tools, because we have to be mindful, right?" And again, that's something that is very unique about Darden, about the people that come to the program and graduate from the program. And I mean, I'm an optimist. I'm a glass three quarters full kind of guy. I think that AI and other tools are here. Well, they're here to stay, but those are here to be helpful. And it gives me peace of mind to know that, you know, my classmates and other folks going through the program are being involved, because I know that they are taking these higher values and considerations into play. And it's not just, hey, we're going to crank out a new product and, you know, hope it just blows up.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's interesting, particularly around the regulatory aspects of this is, you know, we've had social media in our lives for over 2 decades. And it still feels like we have not figured out how to regulate those companies. Now we have what seems like another opportunity to figure out a regulatory framework that still allows for innovation, because you do have like this geopolitical context where this AI technology is being developed, where there are other countries doing other things that we've got to keep pace. And yet we got to figure out how to put some guardrails here. I feel like that's a really interesting conversation too. Like, can we get this right? We struggle with this other thing. Do we have the expertise?
That's right. And you know, it's funny you say that. We have an event coming up here in DC in May, where, you know, UVA is attending, and it's all focused on like national competitiveness and national security. You know, you can fill in the holes. And the way that you're describing that, hey, we've had social media for X amount of time and we kind of haven't cracked it. We have this new, really cool, those potentially dangerous toy in artificial intelligence. And those two are kind of playing together, whether we want to or not. So I think that that forces some interesting conversations, you know, for us as on the academic side, for sure, on industry and at a societal level, to say, what are the things that we know we need to protect, you know, to make sure that our democracy works in a healthy, open way, but also recognizing that these sort of technologies can be used negatively, not just domestically, but by foreign actors, right? These are some of the bigger strategic geopolitical questions that are coming online. And I'm an optimist because I think that because of the seriousness, right, to and the potential danger for critical infrastructure, and again, just like democracy, that will force some of these tougher conversations to happen probably more quickly than before, because it's not just about, hey, like, did you post a silly meme on social media? Like, this is really a thing that can help us stay not just competitive from a number of fronts, but also make sure that we're protecting ourselves. So more to follow, but I think that because there's so many forums now, again, on the academic side, on the policy side, so and so forth, that, you know, UVA and others are playing in, I'm an optimist. And I think that, again, a place like Darden and UVA and our faculty and our alums have a place to guide some of these conversations, right? That is exciting and motivating.
Well, Carlos, a couple of questions for you here as we wrap up. What are you looking forward to in the months ahead?
So I think for myself here at Darden and through Baden, I think it's really about continuing to co-build this new initiative, right? Like, one of the most interesting things is there really isn't a playbook for this, or the way that we're envisioning building this initiative. And that gives us an opportunity to do a much more collaborative effort with everyone. Hey, like, from the student side, like, what is going to be most impactful to you from this perspective? Faculty, how can we help one another in terms of incorporating all these things into the curriculum and also providing you with bigger access to the thought leadership that you are creating in all these mission critical conversations on the admissions front, on the advancement front? Like, it's really about building that ecosystem. And that's something that I've enjoyed doing before coming back to Darden. But for something as mission critical as this, it's what gets me up in the morning. It's what gets me excited to, like, talk to folks. And being part of that journey for folks that are considering coming to Darden for grad school, right? Like, having these one-on-one conversations, that's something that I really look forward to. I was a prospective student at one time, and it was these types of conversations that helped me make my mind to, one, should I pursue an MBA, first of all? If I should, where is the right place for me to pursue that opportunity? And once I'm coming through the door, how can I make the most out of that experience for myself professionally, for, you know, the people that I work with? That kind of like one-on-one interaction, I'm looking really forward to more of those in this role, and, you know, with you and others that I think about coming to Darden.
Carlos, last question for you. What's a piece of advice you would share with our prospective student listeners, something you would encourage them to consider as they go forward on their own MBA journeys?
Absolutely. I think it's two things. Number one is do your due diligence, right? Like make sure that you've really thought through, like, why an MBA, like basic stuff, like why an MBA, obviously why Darden, like what do you want to get out of this experience, whether you're a full-time, a part-time, or an executive MBA prospective student, like what do you want to get out of the experience will be different. So you want to make sure that this is the right move for you. It is a sizable investment. So keep that in mind. And then number two, as you're going through that due diligence process, have conversations, right? Like have conversations with not just the staff, but current students, with former students, with co-workers of yours who've gone through the program. And one of the things that I've really come to appreciate, both when I was a student and now as an alum, something very unique about Darden is that we're all here, right? Like we're here for each other. We're here to help prospective students navigate this process because we were there, right? Like we know what it was like to consider options. And as you're telling that story, I would also say, like, what makes you unique? Like, what are you bringing to the table that will not only distinguish yourself from other candidates, but how are you making sure that the academic experience will be richer for everyone else in the classroom, right? And that's how we all approach. Like I wanted to make sure that I was in the classroom and I was going to be helpful for my classmates. So it's this really interesting back and forth on what do I want to get out of the experience and how can I start giving back to my classmates as we're going through this together. I think being able to tell that story will set you apart, you know, no matter which program you're considering, whether it's Darden or somewhere else. And obviously that type of excitement and energy and that uniqueness of you will come across throughout the process. So.
Well, great advice there. I love the focus on sort of the classmates and what you're adding to their experience. That is one of the real rich things about learning at Darden is you're not just getting to hear from the faculty, you're getting to hear from everybody else in the room. And so you know your experience, the perspective that you have because of your own lived experiences and work experiences, but you get to benefit from all the other people in your class and what they're bringing to this learning enterprise here. So that's fantastic advice, Carlos. And thank you so much for the conversation. Always fun to talk about these kind of cutting edge technology questions, what's happening with artificial intelligence, and also to learn a little bit more about the folks who are helping lead some of these initiatives at the school. So thanks for all your work on the Tech Hub. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Brad. And thank you all for listening. Hopefully we'll stay in touch. Thank you.
And that was my conversation with Carlos Bortone, Tech Hub Senior Director for the Batten Institute here at the Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, @virginia.edu. Till next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.